Paul does something very interesting in this letter, in that little passage that Andrew read for us. He shows us something of Onesimus's journey. For those of you who are new, the letter is simple, the whole premise is simple. There's a slave called Onesimus. He ran away from his master, who's called Philemon. He eventually became a Christian and ended up with Paul. Paul wrote him a letter and sent him back. Wrote him a letter and said, go back. Go back to the person you escaped from. And in that letter, Paul heavily emphasizes Philemon should set him free. He says he's not a slave. He is your brother, just as I am. Fascinating stuff. But today, this little passage, he kind of goes on Onesimus's journey with us, just a little bit. He is speaking about this transition, this shift that Onesimus has had, which I believe all Christians must have, all Christians must eventually make. Now, I'm not talking about that moment when you give your life to Christ, that pivotal, all-important thing when you step from death to life, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. From that moment, you are saved. But, big question, are you useful? Are you of any use at that moment? There is another step you have to make where you step kind of from being pretty useless to being pretty useful in kingdom terms. And Paul highlights it in this passage. Paul says, you know that Onesimus, he was useless. Now he is useful. It's a crucial thing. We have to make a journey from being useless to being useful once we've given our lives to Christ. And the biggest barrier to it, the biggest issue, the thing that we have to step over to lay hands on usefulness is our firm belief that what's most important to me is what's most important. What's most important to me is what's most important. That's kind of our default setting. People are quite outrageously self-centered and self-focused. We're kind of built that way. It's something that we sometimes come to terms with and apologize for. And I believe Christianity is a journey away from that attitude and that approach. Let me read you a different few words from St. Paul. He wrote to the Corinthians. He said, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. Thank you, Paul, for that clarification. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel. So Paul says, I understand my rights, I understand my needs, I understand things I want, I understand the things that affect me, and I shove it all over there. And I only consider the gospel. And Paul hints in this little passage that Onesimus has come to the same conclusion. He has a clear understanding of his rights, his needs, everything that is good for him. However, he's putting it all to one side, and he's taking a letter, and he's journeying back to his old slave master. Remarkable. And you can look through time, and you can see people making that transition in spectacular ways, in the most wonderful ways. I give as an example Corrie ten Boom. I bought her book again for a friend recently. I've given away so many copies of The Hiding Place, I recommend it to you. But Corrie ten Boom, she was a woman a Dutch lady whose family and herself helped vast numbers of Jewish men and women and children escape from the evils of the Nazi regime just a few years ago. And while they were doing this, a man called Jan Vogel told the Nazis what was happening, and her family were taken to a concentration camp where most of them died. Jan Vogel. And what's more, she found out that Jan Vogel had done it. And she was told in the concentration camp, Jan Vogel did this. And when she found out, these are her words. She said, if Jan Vogel stood in front of me now, I could kill him. Those are her words. If he stood in front of me now, I could kill him. And yet, if you look at her famous book, Corrie's book, the letters that she wrote, you will see a very important letter in there to Jan Vogel. And in that letter, she forgives him. And she says, please come to faith. She implores him to give his life to Christ. She says, you are in a terrible situation, not having Christ as your Lord and Savior. I implore you to reach out to Jesus. Corrie makes that transition. Onesimus makes that transition. Now, what I want to say at this stage is that I'm talking about a very, very personal journey. When something wonderful happens for you, when something awful happens for you, you must be encouraged to take it to the Lord. And in your relationship with the Lord, you need to come to terms with what it means as far as his kingdom and his call on your life and his purposes are concerned. Some things in life are just a distraction, and you need to forget them or not let them worry you. Some things are pivotal and to do with the gospel being pronounced and the kingdom coming, our primary calling. But that understanding, that interpretation of it, is a very personal journey. And it does not do well for any preacher or any minister or anyone to come and tell you precisely how you should be feeling about any single thing going on in your life. It would have been dire if, as Corrie ten Boom discovered who had betrayed her family, if someone had popped up and said, oh, you shouldn't feel like that. Just forget it. Although Betsy, her sister, did try. It didn't have that immediate positive effect. There was an occasion when a chap called Charles Colcock Jones, who was a Presbyterian minister, decided that he should preach to a group of slaves from the book of Philemon. And he misinterpreted the message somewhat to mean that you should never run away if you're a slave. And what's more, there's not much wrong with slavery. And so he decided to preach this information. And this is what he put in his diary after he preached in this way. When I insisted on fidelity and obedience as Christian virtues in slaves and upon the authority of Paul, condemned the practice of running away, one half of my audience deliberately rose up and walked off. And those who remained looked anything but satisfied, either with the preacher or his doctrine. After this mission, there was no small stir among them. Some came to me and solemnly declared that they did not care if they ever heard me preach again. So you need to be very, very careful to understand that your journey is a personal one. But God starts to shift and change the way in which we apportion importance and shift its focus from us being self-centered, it's important to me, over to it's important to the gospel. Let's look at Onesimus and look at the little journey he took. First of all, he became resentful, probably as a result of mistreatment. And that seems perfectly reasonable, doesn't it? Onesimus began his journey somewhere, and he was not pleased with where he was. He wanted to be somewhere else. Even his name, Onesimus, which means beneficial or profitable, was in fact more commonly given to animals. It was the equivalent of Fido or something like that. It was apportioned, often given to livestock that were really good. A cow that was a good milker might be called Onesimus. Oh, there's a good profitable cow there. We've made a fortune from it. And so Onesimus was not a good name. He was disdained. He was, in all likelihood, mistreated. So being disgruntled about that is perfectly reasonable. Nothing wrong with that. He rejects the notion of slavery as fundamentally unfair. It is perfectly reasonable to do so. Christians have been at the vanguard of the anti-slavery movement from its earliest days. The Clapham sect, with wonderful folks all woven into the midst of it, desperately trying to protect people. It's reasonable to reject the notion of slavery. It is likely from this letter that he stole some things. He didn't just leave. He didn't want to head out into the known world with nothing in his back pocket. He probably took money, food, some clothes. He took what he needed for the journey. And anyone in their right mind would probably look at poor Onesimus and say, "My friend, you earned that and more. You earned far more than what you took." Yes, stealing is wrong, but you have been stolen from pretty much all your life because you're a slave, you poor guy. And he becomes a fugitive. It was not good to be a runaway slave. If you were caught, you could be horribly treated, executed, tortured, sent back, executed, tortured, all sorts of things. He made all these choices. And if you look, it's the kind of thing that happens in everyone's life. Stuff happens to you. You make choices. You are enslaved. You become resentful. You reject the place where you are. You head off on a new journey, but you don't not sure quite where. You do some things wrong, stealing in this case. You become a fugitive. Stuff doesn't work out in quite the way you expected it. I had all these dreams and these brilliant ideas when I was 18, 19, 20. I was going to do this, I was going to do that, I was going to do the next thing. And now I look back on my life with a sense of mild distaste. And I feel nauseated by its blandness. And I think, oh goodness me, what has become of me? Or maybe you look back and you think, wow, that was a heck of a life. I had a great time. But what eternal relevance has any of it got? Where does any of it lay next to the kingdom of God and the proclamation of the gospel? Sadly for Onesimus, none of it has got any gospel importance other than the fact that it eventually led him to a place where he gave his life to Christ. And incidentally, by the time he got there, his former master had got there as well and had already found this good news and was living, perhaps, I'm certain, a very different and changed life. And so we do an audit of our lives, and it's a very simple thing, but a very important thing to do. And we ask, what is the relevance in kingdom terms? The thing that's hurting me and upsetting me and making me miserable now, what is its kingdom relevance? What is its eternal relevance? It is often not of any great importance by way of the kingdom. We do a kingdom audit. And what happens? If we do that, if we focus, we've got a little outbreak of coughing in a direct line. Those of you, Colin, I can see at the back, you're going to get it next by the look of it. It's going back. It's like in that awful film Outbreak. No, it isn't. Put that out of your minds. So, we do an audit about the kingdom importance of things, and God uses it to help us to take a journey from uselessness to usefulness. as we become more aware of the kingdom importance of things, we become more useful. And Paul makes a play on words when he mentions usefulness and uselessness. The Greek is akrestos and eukrestos. They're very close together, like the English words. The first one, akrestos, means a lack of efficiency. It means you kind of work, but not very well. You're like a car that runs on one cylinder. So it's moving, but boom, 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 it's not moving very well. Whereas this next one, eukrestos, means easily used, wonderfully efficient. But easily used was the most common usage of that phrase. Easily used. And this can mean a number of things. Paul highlights the journey, but he says he is journeying to a place where he is easily used. Easily used by God. God finds it easy to make use of Onesimus. Easily used by his brothers and sisters in Christ. They find it easy to be encouraged by Onesimus. They find it easy to stand alongside him. They find it easy to minister alongside him. When the call goes out for a volunteer, Onesimus' hand is up because he is easily used. And I think that that is the very, very simple message of these few words that Paul shares this morning. Firstly, that we all go on a bit of a journey. We all focus on our own interests and make the decisions that we think are best for ourselves, but we should not. We should audit our journey painstakingly. We should audit it alongside kingdom values, kingdom needs. The message of the gospel that Paul grasped was, it wasn't about him. He didn't go and preach Paul. He preached Christ crucified and the coming of the kingdom. It's not about you, it is about the kingdom. And when you make that journey, when you start to focus on what it means, then you go from being useless to useful, or more accurately, easily used by God. When I first came to this church, I've mentioned this this very elderly couple before, but Colin and Sylvia in my last church. When I first came here, Colin, bless his heart, passed away, I think about 9 months later, the Christmas. And I remember collapsing in tears at home. I remember lying on my bed and being in floods of tears when dear Colin passed away. He is an incredible saint. And I remember being utterly useless at his funeral. I was asked to speak. I didn't lead the service. Thank you, Lord. I was asked to say a few words of testimony about Colin, and I messed it all up completely. I stood there and just blubbed and ended up having to sit down and apologize profusely to dear Sylvia, who thankfully was also crying and just put an arm around me. The thing about that wonderful couple as an example, and I use them deliberately as people who are not folks who you know. I would hate to embarrass anyone. But they were utterly and absolutely given over to usefulness. I used to jokingly say if I came up with some harebrained evangelical scheme that involved turning up at 3 a.m. and dancing scantily clad on the pavement, at 2:45 you would see their car rolling up the road. And out they would get, desperate to help in any way they could, and desperate to serve their Lord and their Savior. That always springs to mind when I think of this easily used, but in the most positive sense. Let me read again, verse 13. Paul said, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. I would say to all of you, that's something for every Christian to aspire to. Wherever you go in your Christian life, wherever you serve, however God calls you, wouldn't it be marvelous for those around you to say, I long for you to still be here. I long for you to be here because you are of such use and of such benefit for the gospel and for your brothers and sisters.